Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. A timely metaphor for failing democracy, Yari Helvetka's The Owners takes a semi-comedic look at the most local form of self-governance, the co-op apartment building meeting. It includes a curious cast of characters, all of whom own apartments in the same building in Prague, Poland, as they attempt to tolerate each other's presence long enough to try and make some important decisions about the building's future. The film is called The Owners, and it is a wonderful film, well-acted, intelligent, taking on in a very subtle and understated way the many ways in which we, as a society, sabotage and self-sabotage our own interest, our own best interest, in furtherance of some bizarre sense of control, which is what is at the heart of all this. Who controls what, and how do we go about resolving these differences? Beautifully done. And we're joined today by the director and writer of this wonderful film, The Owners, and that would be Yari Helvetka. Yari, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
There are so many elements in the telling of this story that I just absolutely love. And one of them is, as you introduce the new characters into the story, you also bring with that an increasing level of tension within the story, which along with that comes the drama, the conflict that we're going to see throughout the rest of the film. Let's talk about the importance of the way you approached the introduction of the characters and how that plays into the telling of the story behind The Owners.
Well, you are right. It's speeding up slowly at the beginning of the movie, but then it's quite fast, I think. Well, it's my own personal experience, like very deep personal experience, because I used to be the owner of apartment in this co-op. You called it co-op, right?
Yes, co-op.
It's like, yeah, co-op. Apartment building, or a big house full of apartment units, and each of the unit has its own owner, and I was one of them. I was the owner of the apartment on the very top floor of the house, of the building. I tried to make an elevator there in the house, and I tried for 10 years or 12 years even, and I gave up. I didn't succeed. It didn't work out. There is no elevator till now, even after the movie. Even the movie didn't help. So the movie is kind of self-therapy, you know, for me. It was the way how to deal the frustration, really painful frustration that was inside of me.
Were you ever part of the governance of the co-op? Is that...
It's a good question. Well, the first 5 years I was sitting in the second round, you know, I wasn't among the people who were sitting really in the first row around the table and discussing and putting the arguments on the table. But I was in the second row, and slowly I came closer and closer. And at the end, I was not the chairman of this committee or this association, but vice chairman. I was the second one. And I did it for 2 years, and then I gave up, as I said.
For me personally, there's something very relatable about The Owners, and that is, I was in politics for many years. I was in the position to try and persuade people to see a particular point of view, my perspective, hopefully to get them to vote in that way. So this is a very relatable set of circumstances, and I found over the years that there's something about the familiar that is very difficult to shake people loose from if you want them to do something different. It's just something about the human condition. And we certainly see how that plays out in this film.
Exactly. Resistance to change, or actually resistance to agreement, you know, resistance to the simple fact that I agree with something, because much more interesting for myself as a for my personality is actually to disagree, because then I can show that I have some power. I don't have it in normal society, but suddenly at this strange platform called in Czech Republic, it's called SVJ, which stands for, I think, HOA, House Owners Association, you know, and suddenly this strange, weird platform, you can really show a small percentage of the power here because you are the owner and it gives you a small percentage of the power. I think this is actually the most important or interesting thing for me. It's not like that the movie is a picture of collapsing democracy, but of course it is kind of, there is this metaphorical dimension, but I was really fascinated by the fact that the people who I know as my neighbors and who I meet at the corridors and at the pub are suddenly totally different people when we are sitting around the table at this, you know, at this house owners association meeting. And they really changed somehow. They showed a different way of behavior, like different, they were a little bit different persons. And this small shift of personality or identity is really something that is fascinating for me.
I think you hit on it. Saying no is a measure of power. Saying yes feels like you're going along. No, it empowers you in ways that the other way doesn't.
Exactly. Saying yes shows you as a weak person in a way, you know, a bit. And saying no, as Mr. Kubat, one of the main characters in the movie, the former chairman says, no is my right, no is my argument, and no is my reason. And he's actually right. It's his right because he's the owner and he can really put veto on anything. And even more interesting is, I think that these people know that the original proposal is actually good. It is benefit for the whole, you know, entire house, but it doesn't matter. It's more about myself, about like I can show that I have very small, but power.
It goes to a theory, and I'm sure I'm not the first person to think about it in these terms, but the story of Adam and Eve. Okay, in my mind, the story of Adam and Eve wasn't necessarily a story of good and evil. It was that mankind is innately disobedient. That is one thing that makes us human, is our ability. In some ways, disobedience doesn't always translate to no, but often it does. But that's how I've always felt. Story of Adam and Eve was they just did what they were told not to do because it was empowering.
That's very interesting perspective. I have never thought about it in this way, but yeah, you are right. Of course, to obey and to disobey, actually, till you don't disobey, you don't know how to obey, maybe, you know, in a way.
Yeah, so to me, that's a fundamental part of the human experience, is that ability.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and in so many ways, these people in this meeting that the film focuses on, mostly on this meeting, this homeowners or co-op meeting, apartment owners association meeting, is everyone is there to inject their particular perspective and exactly what you said earlier. I mean, I'm sort of reiterating what you said, and that is they're all invested in making sure that this woman is, well, she's frustrated. The woman who's in charge of the meeting is the one who is the most reasonable, the most thoughtful, and yet the one who, well, I don't want to give too much away. I don't want to say anything more. Okay. But that's the internal dynamic. And in a trial, if these people were in a jury, this would be completely appropriate, right?
Exactly. Well, that when we were trying to find money for this movie, to do all the fundings and the stuff around, you know, to talk to people and to try to convince them that it's worth giving money for this movie, they were always like, you want to make movie from one room, like it's nonsense. And the first reflection was always, I told them, well, remember about 12 Angry Men, and that was the first moment when they at least tried to understand what we are about to do or what we are trying to achieve. And this is it's jury, right? It's weird thing with people. And I think it's, of course, it's a little bit different in Czech Republic or let's say in Central Europe, in post-communist countries like Czech Republic, that the people who were in charge for a lot of years during communism and even after the fall of communism, you know, like Mr. Kubat, he really, I met him. It's a guy who is sitting there still at these meetings. I'm not there because I moved out after 12 years, but he's still sitting there and he doesn't have the power he used to have, but he still has some power because, of course, after the fall of communism, he found a way how to buy three apartments in the building, you know, and not even buy, but how to transfer them from the socialistic ownership to real, like, private ownership. And so he has this power still. And then I saw there a lot of younger people who were very, like, full of enthusiasm and really put a great effort to achieve something, to move things, to do something for the benefit of the entire house. But they usually gave up after 1 year or 2 years, you know. It's really, because if you hear only no, 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 there's no enthusiasm anymore.
Want to just remind our listeners that we're speaking with Jiří Havelka. He is the director and writer of this wonderful film called The Owners. And I've been focusing a lot on this, the sort of the negative part of it. I do want to talk about how illustrative this is. And you mentioned the metaphorical aspect to the story about democracy. And I do want to underscore that in a democracy, if people are invested, and that's the hope of the woman who's in charge, that everyone feels invested, it is a beautiful thing, because everyone has an interest, but they're able to see beyond that interest. That's the beauty of being able to do what she's trying to do. And in the bigger picture of things, in a functioning democracy, hopefully everyone understands that there is a greater good to be had if we do certain things. And I think the way that this film unfolds, and I said to you before we got started, this is a film that does not talk down to you. It doesn't dumb it down. It gives you what I consider to be very recognizable prototypes for their interests. And in many ways, they're legitimate interests. People that at that table, some of them, not all of them, some of them had legitimate interests that they were protecting. And the trick is to step outside of that. But to also the other side of it, and I don't want to give too much away, there are people at the table who are hoping that it will collapse.
Maybe they are at the same time afraid of real collapse, but they are still trying to show as much as they can, you know, that here, I met them. These people are very happy that the next meeting is coming. For me, I was already like, there was fear inside of me to go there, actually. And sometimes I even didn't go, and I just give the paper that they are signing at the end of the movie. Yeah. So yeah. I gave it to my neighbor, who I know that he will go, or he will suggest the right things as I would do. And I didn't go there. But these people are really looking forward to going to these meetings, because they can show that they don't want the house to be collapsed, you know, to get it to this extent. But they want to use this moment for showing that their life is actually meaningful. It's kind of compensation for them.
Well, I'm speaking of the brothers. That's who I'm speaking of. It seemed, and I want to be careful here. I don't want to say too much, but it felt like there was an agenda that was unspoken that they had.
Yeah, exactly. That's unspoken. And that's the moment when the movie is going a little bit out of the realistic field, you know, a little bit. It's exaggeration. It's kind of hyperbole, because this couldn't happen at one meeting, everything, that right. They would take over the whole house. Right. And I'm giving away too much now as well. But no. But you are right. That from this moment, it's pushing the whole movie, in my perspective, to more metaphoric attitude. They are actually, they are good guys, because, as you said, if we are not engaged, if we are not active about the democracy, if we are not putting our effort to that, it's very easy to let someone else to take our power, actually. And I can give you the paper and do it for me, because I hate these negotiations, I hate these debates, and let's do it for me. I'm giving you all my rights.
I want to let people know that The Owners is playing here in Los Angeles beginning on Friday the 25th. So you can see it at the Lemley Royal in West Los Angeles. Also, they will be rolling out across the country from there. There's a screening in Chicago at the Gene Siskel Film Center. And from there, we're San Juan, Puerto Rico, San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah, it says here.
Wow.
The International Film Festival, beginning on the 31st of August. The Landmark Opera Plaza in San Francisco, the Hitchcock in Santa Barbara, and the Bodecker Theater in Boulder, Colorado. So it's rolling out across the country. I want to also just say how much I enjoyed the performances of all concerned. And I just felt like they gave their characters an opportunity to be human while in service to something that was important to the story. And all of them did that in a way that never crossed, it never blurred the lines. I felt like they were people first, but you could see kind of the pieces of this puzzle that they were a part of as well.
That's totally fair. But this was maybe the hardest part, to find the balance between this like realistic or almost documentary attitude with some stylization, or with this, as you said, like prototypes. They are like living people, and they are written in the script according to my knowledge, according to my experience. But at the same time, of course, I wanted them to be kind of prototypes, but I didn't want to fall on that level. I didn't mean to make a social drama or documentary movie, but at the same time, I didn't want to make slapstick comedy. But maybe it's good to point out, as when I heard all the places where it's going to be print the movie, it's good to point out that I didn't want to make boring film, even it's happening almost in one room. I intended to do a comedy, actually. That wouldn't be boring for people.
There's a lot of funny things in it, funny situations and funny things said along the way. There are. And there's a kind of a droll, dry nature to some of it. And there's some of it is more out there in terms of the comedic intent. I just can't tell you how much I enjoyed the film. There's much to recommend here.
I'm really very, very thankful. I'm touched by your way how you perceive the film. I'm very happy about that. I didn't do many films after, actually only one.
Okay.
And now I am finishing the second one, but I'm mostly doing in theater actually now.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I can see that. I can see that would be a passion for you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on all of it. And I look forward to more. And I hope someday, somehow, we all get together again and talk about your latest project. And thank you. Thank you for spending some time with us. Thank you so much for the owners, writer and director, Jurhi Halveka.
Thank you very much, Mike.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.